Bloomington Assistant City Manager Steve Rasmussen is now serving as interim city manager. The council picked Rasmussen, who started in late 2014, to take over as David Hales departed this month. Rasmussen has worked on the city's solid waste issues as a liaison between the city and downtown and gained a reputation as a bridge builder and someone who gets things done. He's now responsible for all city operations, including helping the council close a $3 million budget gap. Rasmussen says there's not much difference between assistant city manager and interim city manager because he's doing both jobs.
As a city manager, there's just a lot more issues. Now, I was involved in a lot of them, but I'm more critically involved in things like the council agenda, because before I would kind of take it as it came a little bit, but now I'm involved in making the decision on that. I'm also involved in more detailed work on the budget. I've got to tell now more department heads yes and no on certain things. Before, I was responsible for 5 departments. Now I'm responsible for 12 of them, so I have to spend a lot more attention to some of those other departments. The police department and the fire department, I've managed police departments and fire departments before in 3 different cities, but we've got a great fire chief and a great police chief, and so I didn't have to spend a lot of time talking to them. Now I've got to get a little more involved in those aspects of the job.
Agenda and budget are a couple of things we'll talk about in a moment. There were a few meetings for aldermen to actually decide upon you as interim city manager. Was there a hang-up, and what was it? Was there some sort of hold-up?
Well, since those were done in closed sessions, I wasn't privy to those, and even if I was, I couldn't talk about them, so I don't know.
You worked under David Hales for 3 years. How do your management styles differ, do you think?
Yeah, okay, that's a great question. David and I are dramatically different personalities. That doesn't in any way mean that we're different in terms of our professional code of ethics and our dedication to the profession, but we are very different. And I like to think that then we complemented each other. He was very studious and very academic. He came from a finance background. I'm an engineer and came from a building background. So my building and his analysis kind of fit together. I kind of joked with him. I said, you know, your solution to a problem is to do a fiscal analysis. I was a paratrooper for 30 years, so my solution is to attack.
Get the job done.
So I would push him forward, and he would hold me back, and we kind of reached an accommodation there. So I told the staff here on the first day that we had our staff meeting, I said, so now David's not here to hold me back, so you're going to have to do that a little bit.
The GLT newsroom had heard stories about, and they weren't highly critical, but that David was maybe sometimes over-involved, maybe a little bit of a micromanager. I don't know if you saw that. And how do you approach sort of managing people, managing projects?
Well, I wouldn't comment on that on David, because he did a great job in a very tough situation, and so every person handles it differently. I've got to do a lot more delegating right now because I'm both the assistant and the manager, so I've got to delegate it out. But what happens to anybody in one of these jobs is there are certain things that either take your interest or that you have an expertise on, and so you tend to micromanage those things that you know best and delegate out those things that you're not so familiar with, and I think that happens to anybody.
It could take more than a few months to get the next city manager selected. You've stated you would be applying for the job. Why is it of interest to you?
Well, I think 2 things. Number one is that I think I can help the city out and do a good job. As long as you can contribute, you can continue to do that. And we've got a lot of projects that we've got on hold that I'd like to see move forward.
Well, give me a couple of 4 instances.
Oh, sure.
Projects that are on hold that you'd like to see move forward.
Okay. One of them is we were very crowded in City Hall, and yet we've got a lot of space in the government center. And one of the things that David Hales had given to me was to do the space needs study and see what we can do to move some stuff from City Hall to the government center and spread out City Hall. We've had a couple of studies on that. We've got that out for a while. I'd like to go ahead and move forward on that. We can get that done.
Another one?
Another one is we have a critical need to move the Public Works garage and facility. It is just it's a dreadful working conditions. It's inefficient. Do better work and move it out of what is really the City Hall campus.
That's interim Bloomington City Manager Steve Rasmussen. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Are the council and mayor more fractious now than at any time since you arrived in Bloomington?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I kind of see him as the same as it's always been. I'd like to be an influence to help try and bring them together, because councils always do have differences, and so I'd like to do whatever I can to help facilitate that.
How do you pull them together to work more closely? Because if you compare Bloomington and Normal, which is just two, they seem to have different approaches, seem to get along differently. One seems sort of to pull together more often than the other.
Well, it's not my business to manage the council. My business is to manage the staff. But wherever I can, when I can work to offer suggestions or to negotiate things that might help them out, I would like to do that.
What do you think of the ward system? Just a general question about how communities are organized, and sometimes it's an at large position, sometimes it serves a specific part of the city.
Yeah, I've worked in cities that have done both. I was a city administrator in a city where everyone is elected at large, and I was in a city where they were all done by wards, and both of them can work if they work together. And I think that the community has voted. They've spoken on what they want, and I think our job is to make that work.
But you do see some room for improvement as it concerns council relations, how they get along with each other and how they get along with the mayor?
Well, I'd certainly like to help that. There's always room for improvement, for sure.
Alderman David Sage has proposed a structural change affecting how aldermen place things on the agenda. It would take 5 aldermen signatures, which is an increase from the 4 it currently takes, and it would bypass the mayor, as I understand it. Mayor Renner thinks this is harmful, and here's what he had to say to GLT News on Tuesday.
The particular agenda that they're setting, that Alderman Sage wants to bring forward, would absolutely strengthen the ward system of the 9 members of the city council. And that is, we currently have 9 members of the city council that have separate constituencies, and I'm the only one the mayor is the only one elected at large. And so none of us have the same group of people that we're accountable to. And I absolutely oppose any movement toward creating a ward-based Chicago-style politics, which is, I think this is, would move us in the direction of. This is something we will discuss at the next meeting.
That's Mayor Renner speaking with GLT News early last week. Is this structural change necessary?
I don't know whether it's necessary or not. We've got half of the council who may be supporting that, because they put their names on the aldermanic request form to take that issue up for discussing. I can presume, I guess, maybe that the other half may not be for it. The mayor would like to see that as being an issue of strengthening or not strengthening the ward system, and I think that's up to the council to decide. And at this time, the staff and I wouldn't take a position on that. That's for them to decide.
Are there any agenda items that currently get the 4 signatures to place something on the agenda by aldermen that don't make it onto the agenda?
I don't know of any at this time, but of course, I've only been doing this for a short period of time, and so far, I've only got 1, mm-hmm. and that's the one. And
But looking back, you're not aware of any?
No.
And what about items that have been placed on the agenda by aldermen or by the mayor that have actually failed? I guess what I'm getting at here is whether or not this is a solution in search of a problem.
There may be that. I know some of the aldermen feel very strongly about that, and certainly I'll do everything to help facilitate that discussion so that they can come to a good solution to it. I'm neither do I personally want to take a position, nor do I have an official position on that. That's a council issue. I will say one thing though, and that is that I believe that the agenda is the council's agenda. The council is able to move forward its priorities by the things that it puts on the agenda and handles. And so I would like the council to have a strong hand in developing that agenda and determining what it is they want to move forward.
That's a sort of a global agenda, not a every 2 week, not the specific agenda. You're talking about their agenda of things they actually want to accomplish for the city?
No, I'm talking about the every 2 week
okay.
thing. You know, if they want to continue to put things on there that, for example, strengthen the downtown. Well, one of their priorities is to develop the downtown, so I would think that there would be things that would appear on the every 2 week agenda that are downtown issues, and that's the way they move that priority forward.
If you had to rank the priority of this kind of measure being proposed by Alderman Sage in comparison with, say, dealing with the city's solid waste costs, how would you prioritize those two?
Well, they're two different things. The solid waste issue thing is a service level issue and a budget issue. The aldermanic request form is a policy issue and an internal operating measure.
Sure,
and,
but the council only has so much time to talk about things that are important, right? So, you know, if we're talking about dealing with bulky waste and solid waste, or whether or not or making a structural change about how things get on the agenda, it seems to me that one of those is more important than the other. You're saying they're on separate lists?
They're two different things. You know, it's like if I ask you, do you walk to work or carry your lunch? Well, you know.
Both?
Yeah.
Maybe. I bike to work and carry my lunch.
Okay.
As assistant city manager, you work to trim costs, develop plans to cut solid and bulky waste costs. The council ultimately never really made a decision, and to my knowledge, a task force of three aldermen appointed by the mayor to examine this issue never reported back. This can of worms was seemingly closed when the council approved a sales tax increase that closed the last structural deficit 3 years ago. Are we back to where we started 3 years ago with having to look at solid and bulky waste costs?
Yes.
And what do you do? If the council was unable to make a decision 3 years ago, are you confident they'll be able to make a hard decision about actually trimming bulky waste or solid waste services to save money?
Okay. When I say yes, rather bluntly, I say that because at the council retreat that we had two Saturdays ago, we talked about priority-based budgeting, and we talked about the things that were high on the list that we wanted to make sure we continue gave adequate funding to. Okay, great. At the bottom of the list, those things that we didn't want to give funding to help balance the budget, we didn't get a lot of specifics, but we did get 13 areas that they wanted to look at. They said, let's look at these 13 areas for trimming the budget. So I have the staff working on that now, and I promised we'd get back to the council by the end of the month, by the end of November, with something on each of those 13 items. At the public meeting, and that wasn't a secret, but on that was solid waste again. And so we need to take a look at that because we have a high level of service, but we also subsidize that to a great deal. That is one area of the 13 that will be looked at as a possible way in which we can help balance our budget.
Can those 13 areas add up to $3 million to address the structural deficit?
Oh, easily. But the issue on those 13 items is that as we look through it, and I've asked the staff to give me kind of a one-page memo on each one of those, and the staff who is an expert in that particular area, to see if there's light at the end of that tunnel. It may be that some of those just don't work. You just can't get there in the next year, and they'll fall off. But I think there will be three or four or five of those that will be ripe for the council to make a decision on.
We talked about the budget and solid waste in March of 2016, Steve. I want to play my question and your answer, and then we'll talk afterwards. The budget task force spent a chunk of last summer and fall working through revenue and cuts. Areas to examine were the city's three golf courses, the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, solid waste, trying to recover costs on needed police protection for downtown Bloomington. Where do all of those stand now that the budget is essentially balanced?
Well, all of those things are still being looked at. In fact, the golf is going to be looked at here again in this coming week and answering some questions about that as to whether it might be more beneficial to task out, contract out some of those services or not. So that is still up in the air, but it is being looked at.
That audio is from March of 2016. Are the high-cost programs I mentioned, in fact, not all of them are high-cost, the police buyback wasn't necessarily that much money, are those programs and options the city council needs to address in order to close this looming $3 million deficit?
Well, two of them out there are still out there because two of those that we mentioned there 2 years ago are still two that were listed on the list of the 13 things that the council talked about last Saturday.
Golf courses.
Golf and solid waste. So we're going to take a look at that. Two that you did mention there, I think, aren't probably going to be looked at now. The BCPA, we had the vote on that Last council meeting, the council voted not to turn that over to Venue Works. And so I take that as an indication that we're going to kind of continue with the BCPA and the Creativity Center the way we are. I told Jay Tetzloff immediately after that meeting that we need to go out and hire a new performing arts manager, which has been on hold now since the unfortunate death of Tina Salamone. So we're out moving forward on that. But one thing we are going to try to do in that is we're going to try to make it less costly so that we continue to provide a cultural venue for the city, but we don't want to have as much of a deficit there. I said we don't want to have a target on our back for those things. So we're working on that. And the police buyback, we went through that. We went through several options, didn't come up with anything on that. And so I think that one probably is not going to be taken up again.
But it was only, $160,000, something like that? It wasn't a lot of money,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of money.
I mean, you're looking at a $3 million deficit. Every penny counts, right? But you have to look at the areas that are going to bring in the most
exactly.
money.
Exactly.
One of the other positions at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts that's vacant is a grant writer. And one of the public speakers at the last meeting made the point of saying these are the positions that would help us actually reduce the deficit. Is the grant writer, along with the executive director, also on the list of positions to rehire?
Yeah, yes. And we call that a grant writer. I think what it is we're calling that a development director, which will be grants, fundraising, all of those things that will help reduce the deficit that the city has to pay for that.
Do you think you mentioned trying to make sure you were able to hold the line on cost as it concerns the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts? Do you ever think do you think that the BCPA or the Coliseum won't ever be in the crosshairs? You know, of things to. You know, because they're generally thought of as controversial, right? It's a public subsidy.
Well, it may be that it's always in the crosshairs because there are people that will think that that culture may not be something that we ought to spend public dollars on, and there are some people that think we do. So it's always going to be an issue. But I think that if we reduce the subsidy that we pay for that down to much less than it is, it will become less and less of an issue. I give you the perfect example is the golf courses. We can make the golf courses so that they're break even. We get pretty close to that. And then at that stage, who would complain? People who don't like to play golf, well, don't play golf then. But we can make it so that we're not using taxpayer dollars to pay for that, and that helps eliminate it as a controversial issue.
So would that be a fee increase for people using the golf course?
I don't even think it's so much of a fee increase as much as it is to make sure that we use it to the full extent that we can, and to have instead of putting money into capital expenses, there are a number of golf groups that would like to do fundraisers for the golf course, so you can do some of the improvements to the golf course without using taxpayer money. And if you do that, I think we can make that pretty well break even.
As it concerns taxpayer dollars, are there any revenue proposals hiding in the wings, or will the city balance the budget by cutting? They've already taken property tax off the table.
Yeah. Well, amongst the 13 things, there were a couple of things. One of them is cost recovery. We don't do an awfully good job about doing things like collecting parking ticket fees. There's a lot of water fees that are out there that haven't been completely collected. And if we're more rigorous about collecting the fees that are owed us, that's important, and that's not a raise of taxes to anybody. Another one is cost recovery for the things that we do. For example, we do a lot of apartment inspections for health and safety. The Community Development Department years ago recovered about 90% of its costs in terms of charging fees for that. Today, it only does about 40 or 50%. Why is that? Well, let's go back and take a look at that and see if we can't have some cost recovery. That isn't raising taxes, but it's recovering fees.
The things that the Budget Task Force looked at in 2015, was there any progress on any of those? What are some of the hard decisions the council did make over the past 3 years? Since they knew the structural deficit would return, what are some of the things that were done in order to save money?
The last thing that we had, one by one, those each closed off without having taken action on it. And the last thing that we had was the police buyback, and we had tried several different solutions to that. One was to increase fees to the bar owners downtown. Of course, they objected to that. There was increased fees to all the bar owners all around town, and we never found a solution there that would get acceptance. And so that one kind of fell off the table, but at the same time that we raised the sales tax, and so that, I think, eliminated the pressure to take any of those actions. But they'll come back again.
You seem to be in a difficult position. We talked a little bit about this before you walked in the door or as you sat down for this interview. You need to guide the council through effective policy decisions, especially as it concerns the budget. But the council seems mired in infighting among themselves. How do you do your job to get to that budget working with this council? Or do you see that as an issue?
I don't see that as an issue, and I have good relationship with all of the council members. I admire them all for the work they're doing. I appreciate the hard thing that they're struggling with. And I try to do the best I can to lead the staff to accomplish their goals and objectives. And I think the way we help solve some of those is, like with the budget, is to come out with practical solutions that everybody can buy into, as opposed to causing it to have winners and losers. We need to have everybody be a winner.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy in the studio with former assistant and now interim city manager Steve Rasmussen. Is this a well-informed council? Are they familiar with key documents that are supposed to guide the city, like the Bring It On Bloomington Comprehensive Plan?
I think a lot better. They're a lot better informed than a lot of people would give them credit for. And the staff works all the time to continue to inform them about those kind of issues. And so I believe that the council is a lot better informed than people give them credit for, and I'm going to keep working to make that happen.
And what about staff? And I'm thinking of the sewer oversizing project at the Grove subdivision and the intersection expansion at Ireland Grove and Towanda Barnes, both of which seem out of step with the comp plan that, put simply, says focus on the core of the city.
Well, let's talk about the first one. Would be the intersection of Towanda Barnes and Ireland Grove. We worked with the county a lot on that here recently because of exactly the issue you're talking about. It's the county's number one project. It's their area of the highest number of crashes, and it's a terrible bottleneck in the beginning of the day. We have an intergovernmental agreement with them that said that we would split the cost of that 50-50. Now, it's become more than we probably thought we were going to pay. And so what we did was we brought that before the council, and the council, I think wisely, decided to table that but send it back to our new transportation committee to work through. And you balance the need of, as you said, the core of the city versus the problem that we have with traffic and accidents in that part of the city. And that transportation committee meeting here in a couple of weeks is going to look at that, and we're going to get the county in there, and we'll analyze that. And I think we'll come up with something that will probably be a compromise that everybody can live with.
And what about the comprehensive plan, your view of the comprehensive plan? What do you think of it?
Well, one of the problems with the comprehensive plan is, with all of them, is we've got a 168-page document, and on one page there's a paragraph that talks about how we should improve the wayfinding downtown. And so we took that one on, and the council put $250,000 into the initial year of that. And we've now had 48 meetings, and and we're getting ready to take it back to the council again.
And you have two or three new wayfinding proposals now, right, for sign styles?
Yeah, we do. So what I say is, well, you know, you got that comprehensive plan, and you got to pick something out of it to do. And there's a lot of stuff in there to do.
Sure. I guess I'm asking how you view it as interim city manager, perhaps the city's next city manager, as an overarching document to help guide the city. Is it a reference guide? Is it a Bible for the city?
Well, I think there's two different things. I think it's a reference guide, probably not a Bible. And what happens is it's good because when we go back and take some project on, like why are we going to spend $250,000 to improve the wayfinding in the city? Well, we have a good reason for doing that is because the comprehensive plan said that's one of the things we should do. When we start looking at parking downtown, why are we looking at parking downtown? We did a big study. The comprehensive plan says that's one of the things we should look at. So we have good reasons for doing the things that we would do, and that is because it's put in the comprehensive plan. But we can't do it all, and so we have to choose wisely which of those things we can do. I don't know if you ever remember the movie City Slicker with Billy Crystal in it, and the old cowboy raises his finger one thing, and Billy Chris says, what's that? And he says, doesn't matter, just do one thing. That's the way I am.
Okay, Steve Rasmussen will have been on the job as interim city manager for 2 weeks tomorrow. Steve, thanks for your time on Sound Ideas.
Thank you very much.
Rasmussen will likely serve until a more permanent city manager is hired. Alderman amended an ordinance restricting an interim serving only 4 months, expanding the term to 6 months. Rasmussen says he will be a candidate for the job. You're listening to Sound Ideas on GLT.